Let me start with a simple question. When was the last time a Kenyan film really stayed with you? Not just something you watched and forgot, but a film that lingered, one you quoted, recommended to a friend, or thought about days later. For many people, the answer is probably Nairobi Half-Life, a film that came out over a decade ago. Now, this isn't about bashing Kenyan filmmakers or pretending that there's no talent here, because there is. We have incredible stories, diverse cultures, and a generation of creatives who are clearly trying. Kenyan films exist. You can find them in theaters, on Showmax, on Netflix, at film festivals, and even on YouTube. The problem is most of us don't know when they are coming out, where to find them, or why we should show up. So today, I want us to have an honest, friendly conversation about Kenyan cinema, where it's working, where it's falling short, and what could actually make it better. Because this industry isn't failing due to a lack of creativity. It is struggling because of culture, storytelling choices, and a disconnect between filmmakers and audiences. Think of this episode as curiosity, not criticism. A chance to ask, what would it take for Kenyan films to feel urgent again, memorable again, worth lining up for again? Let's talk about it. Hello, karibu sana to another episode of Out the Booth podcast. I am your host, Mr. Crooked Smile, aka Eugene, and today we are looking at the Kenyan film industry. As you listen, remember to like, share, and subscribe. Also, leave a review and comment on the parts you felt could use more work or the ones you enjoyed. Interact with the show on social media at OTBPodKE across all social media platforms. For a while now, my interests have shifted towards Kenyan films. Each week I would say to myself, I have to watch a Kenyan film, movie, or even just a theater production, all with the intention to get to understand what happens on that side of the scene. So the search began, slow at first, then frustrating, and with enough time spent mostly on written testimonies, I may have a better understanding of a few things that initially bothered me. See, when it comes to Kenyan entertainment, we have had a huge problem called coverage. We do not have enough consolidated sources of information that are reliable enough to find information in one go. There's probably someone who said, well, ChatGPT can help you with that. No, it cannot. I tried. Also, is a Google search so taxing for you? As one creator asked, was typing a search in Google, reading multiple sources, and creating an informed opinion your burden? If your answer is yes, you know, proceed as you are. Back to my point, there isn't enough sources for an in-depth coverage. Thanks to social media, you'll end up bound to following the individual creative only for them to be lost in the algorithm and then read through multiple platforms, which most are telling the same stories. And when it comes to today's topic, that is the Kenyan film industry, you would expect, you know, considering writing is an integral part of film production, you'd expect more, right? You couldn't be more wrong. I'll explain myself in the next few minutes, and also, I'll explain how this has changed the more I look into it. It's going to be a long episode, so stick around for a while. Let's set the argument. Despite the availability of platforms and undeniable creative talent, the Kenyan film industry struggles due to weak infrastructure, poor audience development, and uninspired storytelling. But these challenges can be addressed through structural reform and creative accountability. If you were to look at today's creative scene, especially short-form content, you realize there's a lot that goes into it. From the production value to the storyline and even the choice of actors, everything works to the advantage of the creator. Since TikTok was introduced and adapted as the main social interaction platform, the creativity has become more refined and intentional. This has been caused by international influence, audience reactions, and the need to constantly improve on already existent material. The same, however, cannot be said when it comes to the mainstream version of the same creatives. On that side, what we see are recycled storylines, bland acting, and the occasional collaboration with the newest act in town, but nothing memorable, nothing that sticks with you. Think about it. You've probably have more memory of a skit you saw than a line from the last Kenyan movie you watched. Well, that would be sad for me, except I keep remembering the line, Hapa ni ganji ndo inabonga, from the series Pepeta. Ask me about a Kenyan movie line. I prefer to hold my tongue. See, the problem I've observed with the scene is that there's no set structure that allows for industry advancement, or development, if you might say. We seem fixated on the concept, implying, if it's not broken, don't fix it. That and the fact that most, if not all, Kenyan institutions are guided by outdated, one could even say colonial regulations, meant to control rather than encourage growth. This has led many to lose faith in the process of innovation since conformity gets more attention. Oh, and you're welcome to disagree on your podcast. Here, I'm listening, watching, and judging. To take you back in time, to those of us who were in boarding school, or even if you were just in a normal Kenyan school, did you ever get to experience the traveling theater or participate, whether as an actor or audience member, in the drama festivals? Do you remember the energy that was on those stages? How actors felt natural, funny, curious, and made for more? What happened to those people? Did they actually proceed to become big names, or are you still hearing the same names and faces from Tahiti High? What happened to the original scriptwriters who told stories of their own away from poverty, rich versus poor families, or another love triangle? Now, compare that to the list of top movies over the past 5 years. Is there a unique storyline? If the answer is no, then you get where I'm coming from. Here's a bit of a fun fact before we get too deep into this. There are roughly 45 to 50 cinemas and screens in the whole country, with Nairobi holding half of them. In comparison, South Africa has over 800 screens, and Nigeria has somewhere above 300 screens. Keep in mind, these are the same countries our creatives compete with when it comes to award season. They are also where most filmmakers get and ape ideas from to make their own films with hopes to capture the same audience. To add on to this, there was a time I read up that South Africa would even offer tax rebates to filmmakers based on the performance of their films. Yet, we were still trying to get Pornstash to understand progressive films. What a time to be alive, isn't it? Point number two. Now let's get into the meat of the story. Discovery exists, but it is poorly structured. Kenyan films are available, but audiences struggle to find and follow them. You cannot support what you don't know exists, right? With the advancement of digital media, especially streaming platforms, access to films from across the world has been made much more easier. Today, with the right subscription, you can watch any new release at your own leisure. At the same time, with social media and following the right personalities, you could even be on the red carpet. Wait. That's reserved for clicks. I should have mentioned that. Our industry is actually run by people who only work with people they know, and the only reason anyone new would be involved is if it comes with a benefit to their career or that person has connections. A sad state of affairs, but they will always have time to share how much their hard work has paid off. You know, all those years grinding. Over the years, I have had the time to engage deeply with the international film scene from an observer's point of view. At some point, my favorite activity was finding out-of-the-way films, popular films, and even following a director's discography. It is during this exploration when I found out that there is more to film than the showcase on the release date. You realize that in order for these creators, these directors, these actors to be acclaimed, they put in a lot of work before, during, and after the film. So in true critique format, I went and applied the same strategy to the Kenyan film industry, and this is where it came to light. There is a lot to discover when it comes to Kenyan film. There is also a lot of reform and work that needs to be done. Did you know the best productions within the industry are not even online? Yeah, that's right. Kenyan cinema is still largely showcased in theaters and private functions where those uninvolved in the scene are left out. At the same time, if you were to look up Kenyan movies, you will have to browse through multiple streaming platforms, individual platforms and websites, and what comes up is outdated records. The highest number of available Kenyan productions, at least, you know, by my estimate, are from the year 2007 to 2015. A few more have also come up since then. I mean, it is 2026. But some of the ones that actually stand out, you know, some of the ones that are actually memorable, are from those years. Anything beyond that is found on individual websites and platforms making discovery and accessibility quite limited. Some of the top platforms I would personally recommend are Showmax, Maisha Magic East, My Movies Africa, and, for the benefit of doubt, YouTube. Each platform has its own offerings and prices. You choose the hill to climb on, but never to die on. Sadly, these productions will be similar in more ways than one. For my Kenyan listener, think Mother-in-Law, Chahidi High, Nairobi Half-Life, or Inspector Mwala. But make it cinematic. You know, they said steal like an artist, but they didn't quite try. They did some work, but not all they could do. They have the same storyline, the same actors, and without one influencer added for clout and their social media presence. Just to add on to this, I've been following up on the story of the writers of Nairobi Half-Life, and each time the question was always, why has this not been replicated across different films, you know? What's missing? And sadly, the writer, Potash Charles Matadia, was a victim of bureaucracy and contractual agreements that saw him fall into a life of despair. The director, who I shall not name for my own reasons, has made a career for himself with good lighting and little to no advances in developing the industry. One of the biggest and possibly the most prevalent problems that has impacted the movie and film industry in Kenya is probably the lack of foresight. For anyone who's worked on a personal project or even has a simple job, we understand the importance of seeing the bigger picture. I say this to ask, when was the last time you saw a proper rollout for a Kenyan film? When was the last time you engaged with material for a film that made you curious? When was the last time you watched a movie and saw a follow-up to that same film? See, the thing is, most filmmakers work within their circles and rarely consider on how to expand their reach. They also do not have much connection with their audiences, as they seem to be more focused on appeasing their investors and personal tastes. Even after the film has aired and run its screen time, they'll quickly move on to the next project without assessing what worked and what did not. Continuity and audience retention are probably non-existent concepts to them. An example of foresight when it comes to filmmaking is having an actual release date announced and sticking to that schedule. There's also the media interviews and behind-the-scenes footage that can be released to create some interest among the general public. With social media nowadays, it would be very easy to share all this, but it is rare and in between. You may see the actors hanging out, creating skits, but you rarely hear about the project they're working on. You know, not even a rumor image. They never even throw a rumor up on that. It's personal lives, you know? There's an air of individualism amongst actors that, and I say this sparingly, makes them feel bigger than their work. If anything, this makes the audiences more invested in the individual than the work they do. Claim 2. There's limited cinema infrastructure, which in turn stifles growth. The scarcity and cost of cinemas limit audience reach and revenue. Streaming does help bypass physical limitations, but it does not actually replace the cultural act of cinema going. Even with a problem caused by and faced within the production of said films, the blame cannot fall solely on them. There is also a huge gap when it comes to actual infrastructure that allows for growth, development and discovery of Kenyan films and movies. One has to simply look at the number of cinemas and other physical locations where films can be showcased, especially in Nairobi, you know? These places are usually far, poorly funded, unknown, or filled with just international productions. I would go into purchasing these films, but even when you used to burn CDs to watch movies, rarely was there a location you could be assured to come across Kenyan movies. Maybe, you know, if you were resourceful enough and went to downtown or came across a street vendor with a good collection. This lack of proper and reliable locations has made it very difficult, even for the filmmakers themselves, to reach the audiences and get a return on their investment. According to publicly available information, the number of screens and cinemas in the whole country is approximately 55. This includes 12 cinemas and 43 screens in a country of over 47 million people. To add on to this, a large number of said screens and cinemas are found within or around Nairobi. beyond the capital city, only Kisumu, Eldoret, and Mombasa have cinemas. And each of these just holds one. One. Nakuru, a place where creativity was a thriving industry, has none. One would expect such places as Nyeri, Nyahururu, or even Meru to have some, but in such reasons, you have better luck attending the local university cultural festival in order to at least get a glimpse into what happens around Kenyan theatre. Of course, these numbers are just from my own research. I'm sure there are probably more out there, but I'm just trying to build a case over here. So if anything is wrong, please do feel free to reach out on social media. That is at OTBPodKE across all social media platforms. And, you know, just help me update my records or help me change my mind, actually. Yeah, you know, if you can actually make me change my mind, I'd actually enjoy that a lot, because that would actually make more sense as to why I do these things. Now I know there's actually people listening. And of course, I am simply human, so correction is not something I would be against, you know? So if there's a film director out there or an actor out there who's listening to Out the Booth podcast, you know, and you want to come and change my mind or change my opinion, please do feel free. Even if it's just another creative who has more information on the film scene, I'd really like to hear from you. So reach out on social media at OTBPodKE. Back to where we were. With this in mind, that is the number of screens that are around the country, it's only right to make a comparison with our competitors, that is Nigeria and South Africa. According to recent records, South Africa has more than 800 screens spread across 70 complexes. Nigeria, on the other hand, has 102 cinemas, 333 screens, and apparently this number grows yearly. Now, you can say these two countries have had more time to develop their industry, in the case of South Africa, or that they have a large populace, in the case of Nigeria. But you can still see the effort to actually develop these facilities, which in turn encourages more films to be produced. And it's not that they do not showcase international films, they do. The idea is that they also create the environment that allows for local productions to be aired. After all, if the resources are made available, it only follows that they should be utilized. Locally, we have the same model, only at a much smaller scale. By this I'm referring to social halls, cultural festivals in colleges, and dare I say, the annual drama festivals. But even with these, they still restrict the audiences because you either have to be there, hear about it, or be aware but have no idea how to get involved. This gap in resource allocation has led to audiences not even being invested. Still, there exists a silver lining. Thanks to availability and the variety of streaming platforms, couple that with the access to recording and production equipment, especially for budget films, and an intentional search, you'll actually get to enjoy local productions. Platforms such as My Movies Africa have become an interesting place to watch these films, since you have the option to either purchase the film or hire it. And since they're locally based, you know, African, the prices are quite affordable compared to heading to a theater, where snacks are overpriced and tickets not enough for everyone. Now, speaking of pricing, that's the other thing. Why would a film made and produced in Kenya, for Kenyans, have ticket prices double that of other movies in the same cinema? Don't tell me that we need to support our own, because that is the same argument used to overprice imported items. It would make much more sense to have the film showcased over a long period, with fair ticket prices, across different screens, in comparison to banking on making all the money in a week, or even a month. It is at this point that I would ask someone more versed with this model to help me broaden my understanding, so, you know, do the thing. Number 3. The industry has a habit of prioritizing grants over audiences. Dependence on funding discourages accountability and long-term planning. Because if you think about it, if your audience doesn't matter, neither does your impact. For a long time, creatives in Kenya have struggled to make a living out of their work. From writers, musicians, painters, and even actors. It's not once that we have heard stories of famous yet broke celebrities. You may see them on screen daily, or even on billboards and ads with pearly white smiles and joy in their eyes, but in reality they're still worried about rent, family, or worse yet, how to get home. See, it's a common occurrence, and the industry has sadly normalized it to a point where you wonder if this is meant to be a labor of love or an actual occupation to be proud of. And if they cannot make a living off the art itself, how is it that they're able to make the art? How do they get the funding for the films they make? How do they pay the technical team because they invested their skills and equipment? How do they book that location to show the film, you know? Well, it turns out our film industry for the last 10 or so years has been heavily reliant on grants. What this means is that instead of our own industries and institutions setting aside a kitty or a fund aimed to aid the growth of the industry and the exploration of more localized ideas, we are at the mercy of international organizations and their narrative stretching. By narrative stretching, what I'm referring to is the ideas and concepts that these organizations prefer to be showcased about Kenya. That, and we have to accept that this has definitely been overdone. That's why we always end up either with a documentary about, you know, slum or village life, with agendas being forced into a film that really much has nothing to do with our own culture. Being at the mercy of these grants also alters how filmmakers approach the making of the movies. They find that there's no need to, you know, actually engage with the audience preferences as they view them as a byproduct of the film being made. At the same time, when it comes to marketing, filmmakers will focus on appealing to the same garanters who funded them over the already existent Kenyan market, or one that they can actually build. So it's never hard to see why most Kenyan movies are unknown within the country, yet they get recognition in foreign film festivals. Of course, by the time we hear about them, it's often followed by a ban since, you know, it's not a representation of our Kenyan culture and values, as they like to insist. It would be great to see Kenyan industries, organizations, and even institutions, maybe even a brand, invest in a film project locally. I believe this way, we can erase the complacency experienced when international funding sets in and even push younger generations to feel more invested as we invest in ourselves. You know, the idea of aspire to inspire before you expire? Something like that. See, the idea that Kenyan movies are boring is because we do not appeal to ourselves and no one is pushing for it. A simple look into the different sponsorships and brand deals secured by Kenyan content creators shows how much we do appreciate authenticity and embrace it. I usually find myself watching an ad, especially when it comes to people like Wololo TV, without even realizing it's an ad due to how well the skit is set up. Now imagine if you replicate that on a larger scale. What would happen if companies were behind Kenyan filmmakers? Kenyan companies were behind Kenyan filmmakers? Kenyan brands behind Kenyan filmmakers? What would happen? At the same time, we have to accept there's a lot of poor planning in the filmmakers themselves. Because rarely will we hear or watch a movie trailer that is meant to come out next year. We don't hear rumors of a new TV series that builds anticipation to catch the next episode. Instead, the announcements are made a few months, even days before the release. After the release, it'll be there in the theaters for maybe, a week or two, and as soon as the run is done, we move on to the next. This lack of proper planning snowballs and makes it hard for brands to invest, as they're also not sure what is happening within the scene to create budgets that can support it. Not forgetting how unpredictable releases are with the cast and crew, maybe falling out, you know, lack of funding hits somewhere, no, they can't continue. The extras maybe don't show up, or the actor becomes, you know, too big for the role that they've been given. Structure is such a beautiful idea, you know, until it actually comes to doing the work, and now everyone wants to be a project manager. Onyi tulia, you know? What filmmakers have to realize is that if the audience doesn't matter, neither will your impact. So involve me, involve us. Involve that neighbor, and please, let's all accept the roles set out for us. Who knows where we'll all lead? Number four, and this is probably, I think, a big part of everything. Kenyan films lack memorable storytelling. Okay, there's nothing memorable. Weak narratives prevent Kenyan cinema from leaving a lasting impression. Personally, I'm a connoisseur of the odd. A love of out of the way, a collector of moments. I have no moments to collect from Kenyan films. I don't feel any remorse for holding that opinion. The fact that Kenyan films are made for an international audience over a local one has made me accept that maybe it may be some time before we come across one that is up to par with our own preferences. And if that offends you, please feel free to contradict my opinion and share your preference. But before you do, take a trip through all the Kenyan films across the landscape and tell me one original, rather to be more specific, one line that stuck with you after a Kenyan film you watched. Personally, all through my observance and participation, I keep relating the concepts in a movie to a popular or known scene from another movie or another film. And to be fair, the monkey see, monkey do attitude adopted by most films does not work for me. The idea that not a single conversation in Kenyan film has happened in public makes a lot of us question how connected are these scriptwriters to us, to Wanjiku, to the normal person walking on the street, to someone who's never watched a film, but you know, everyone watches a movie from once in a while, but like how do you expect them to relate to it if they don't see that relatability being showcased? A personal belief I hold is that art is a reflection of the society that was created within. However, if the setup is not relatable to a citizen or resident of said country, I do see how this would be lost within the confines of a streaming service, only to be found by luck. We can keep asking for more Kenyan material all around, but if we cannot relate to our audiences, and by that I mean the citizenry, I don't see how we can grow the industry. An argument has been made that we rarely even embrace our own languages in film. Our own tongue has been such a huge factor when it comes to political division. It has influenced how we worship, how we relate, and how we marry. And if you think that culture, language, and tradition have no influence on who you are, oh my guy, you're so mistaken. Sure, you'll enjoy being who you are. You're a Nairobian, you know, you consider yourself a metropolitan citizen. But the brass tacks has to be paid. And at that point, you'll realize how important culture is. We are Africans, and what makes us unique is our diversity. Within the film industry, this narrative is often lost in translation. We make films based on culture, but tell the story with English, and wonder why our Kenyan audiences do not relate. You're probably pointing your finger and asking why I'm doing the same. You know, because it's my podcast and, you know, you just have questions as to why I'm doing the same. I'll respond. It's because that this is the only way you get to listen to me. It's the most viable option to pass this message to a diverse audience while still maintaining my authenticity. It is also because my audience is larger than just Kenyans. Plus, I just sound better this way. I'm allowed to flex my education once in a while. It's nothing big. We seem to have missed the point that a story has to be memorable to anyone involved. From the production team to the one who simply watches a trailer that ignites the curiosity. We forgot that you can be legendary without having to force an agenda. The idea is to make your product or production memorable. Do you ever think about the dialogue in a movie? How characters seem to be in sync, understanding that there is a story to progress, even with the most minute of screen time. With our own material, it seems that conversations are put in as fillers to make the film longer. Yes, the actor playing the role, but how much of that contributes to the film? There's a tenet of film that any character introduced, despite how minor their role is, has to advance the story being told, but we rarely see that in our own. I can show multiple examples, but you know, my friends and exes say I dance too much, so instead I'll mention it and move on. The point is, we need directors and scriptwriters to acknowledge that their audiences are more than just the international community. Yes, they funded the project. Yes, they have an agenda to propagate and make it familiar with the times. However, is it relatable? Does your neighbor feel included? Mamboga anaweza peana hiyo story. Look at Njoro wa Uba. It beat you in the last award. Yet you produced a more budget-worthy film within the scope of public opinion. It really does not take much to actually see the, you know, the gap that's there. Does it? No, it doesn't. I wouldn't think it does. So with that said, let's kind of wrap things up, you know, just a little bit, okay? You've heard all my points. So how can the Kenyan film be bettered? Like most things, the industry's problems are structural, not inevitable. You know, it's not set in stone. It's just about structure. With all the pitfalls facing the Kenyan film industry, it would not be right to assume that there's no way forward. We might assume it all, and we might accept that originality is, you know, not to be expected, but change is undeniable and also inevitable. If at all we are to improve, we have to start from somewhere. From the audience to the set designer, we all have a role to play. If at all, we would like to appreciate film more and see Kenyan films get better. I say this because I've personally been involved and invested in seeing the betterment of the music scene. If you've listened to my past episodes, you know exactly what I mean. From covering lesser known artists, only to hear their names on stage that I personally have never heard of, from mentioning genres at their inception to seeing them become common within mixes and even in conversations, I know it can be done. How, you ask? Well, I have a few suggestions. Let's start off with at least setting schedules for releases and showcases. Because for a long time, the only way to know there's a new Kenyan film we have is to wait for said filmmakers or actors to be featured on our favorite radio TV stations. Only then do we develop an interest, but even that is short-lived. After the interview, give it a week or less before we've moved on to the next fad. They say nowadays with social media, especially with everything that's going on in the world right now, we forget too fast. We Kenyans have a habit of forgetting too fast. Right? All the ills that happen in society, all the bad stories we hear, are always covered up by something even worse, or some other distraction. What if the movie promotion was more than simply a press run? What if you use social media and other influencers to push the movie? As per the research I conducted prior to this, the issue with Kenyan film releases is the unreliability, when it comes to scheduling especially. We call it Kenyan timing, but please, let's get serious. Create good relations with your actors and crew for a seamless production period and release it exactly when you say you'll release it. Cinemas then can have a way to at least account for the numbers that turn up on day one or even later. Also, funders can see some sort of consistency and reliability in your work. There's also an issue of infrastructure, which, to be honest, cannot be placed on the creators. They put in the work to ensure that there is enough material to be shared and experienced by audiences, but can they be participants beyond their devices? We've all seen the lengths people are willing to go for something that's being showcased across the country, maybe even if it's a music concert, and yet we still treat art like it's a thankless career. On the other side, we see artists from outside the country come and make the most money we've ever had. Look, if corruption money is any good, invest in your own country. Giving to a tourist or another artist from a different country, it sounds no good. This so-called, rather, I'd refer to it as arrested development mentality, needs to be abandoned at all costs if we are to see any progress in our art forms. Oh, and in the case of the creators, the filmmakers and actors, if you think you're off the leash, nah, my guy, I got your number. Engage your audiences, you know? Find out what they like from your last project or what they did not like. Improve on it. Take it out. Double down. We know you're limited by the terms set by your funders, or maybe contractual agreements, or maybe even the film studio that you're working with. But there are ways to include Kenyanisms that don't impede on contractual terms. You can easily make a relatable film without excluding audiences. May I speak to the directors too? You know your edge. You're aware of why you hold that position because of the respect you've garnered with your ideas. So why am I not seeing personality? Kind of like Michael Bay with the explosions, or Quentin with his food fetish. Or you thought decency was a factor. No, you don't have to be decent, you know? The whole idea is to embrace the darks and light sides of man. Duality, to put it simple. To add on to this, embrace festivals, showcases, and a consolidated streaming model. Ever since COVID, Kenyans yearn for events that get them out of their houses and back with the feeling of having spent money worth for the event. Yes, we have FOMO, but the more you read into it, the feeling is lost due to either poor setups, artists not showing up, bad sound design, unpredictable ticketing services, and worst of all, no memorable moments. You do know there's a whole field right behind KCA that allows for people to sit in their vehicles and watch a performance or movie. They call it drive-in. Or was called it that. Times have changed since I was last there. Use that to your advantage if you choose. Before the land is taken away, you know how much you've seen that happen. So yeah, with that said, I believe there will be someone who will find a solution to this. You've been listening to Out the Booth podcast with me, Eugene, as your host. I know this was a long one, so I really do appreciate you listening to the end. Share the episode, subscribe to the podcast, and interact with all and even more of our material across social media at OTBPodKE. Till next time, it's hugs, not drugs. Peace.